We're going in our study in the larger catechism to number 85. Basically, why do Christians die? Why do believers die? That is the gist of it. Why do believers die? And this is very important truth that we are considering tonight from God's Word. So we're going to go to our larger catechism and to the number 85. If you're able, I'll say the answer together with us. Number 85, death being the wages of sin, why are not the righteous delivered from death, seeing all their sins are forgiven in Christ? The righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day, and even in death are delivered from the sting and curse of it, so that although they die, yet it is out of God's love to free them perfectly from sin and misery, and to make them capable of further communion with Christ in glory, which they then enter upon. Well, praise the Lord for this teaching regarding death. Death is not that which we are, as believers, are condemned in. Why do Christians die? Well, since Christ died for us, He paid all our penalty for all our sin, why do believers experience death? Well, we must remember that death has three aspects. There's physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. And we were born already dead, spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and verse 5, you hath He quickened. You hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And when did we die? In Adam, all die. We are all dead. We are all born spiritually dead already. So we have already, in so many years of our lives, we have experienced spiritual death, being dead toward God. Totally shut off from the marvelous spiritual realities of God's saving grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. For they are spiritually discerned. The natural lost man cannot take in spiritual things because they are spiritually discerned. There's no way to understand them. They're absolute foolishness to one that is naturally dead in sin. So we praise God that He has brought many of us out of spiritual death. And He has brought us into spiritual life. He has breathed into us. As God breathed into Adam the breath of life, we have had the Spirit of God breathing into us spiritual life as believers. So, believers don't die spiritually anymore. We've already been dead spiritually. And we know what that's like, and it's not good. So most believers also die physically. And biologically, we weren't dead when we were born, but the processes of death and degeneration had already begun in us before we were born. And those processes of degeneration and decline continue in our bodies until our soul is finally separated from our bodies. So physical death is what happens to nearly all believers, most believers. We know it didn't happen to Enoch or Elijah, but it will not happen to those who are alive, who believe and are saved and regenerated when Christ comes. But the great mass of believers do pass through physical death. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all mankind, for that all have sinned. It's very clear. Now, but believers in Christ will never experience the third kind of death. And this is most wonderful. Praise God, because this is the most horrible kind of death, and that is eternal death. Believers in Christ will never experience eternal death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 tells us that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 tells us that those in the lake of fire shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And you remember Jesus said to the goats on his left hand, what did he say? He said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." He said, you're going to that same place where the devil and his angels are going to be. In that place where they're tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 describes the wicked suffering. It says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now, of course, time shall be no more. But why does God use such terms? Because we only can understand in time and space. Let me ask you to do something. Think of something that's totally outside time and space. When you get the answer, please raise your hand and tell me. We're in the box, and we can't think outside the box. So God has come down and communicated to us in the box with the kind of terminology that we can understand. There's no ceasing in that torment that they will have forever and ever. Now, thank God, there is now, nor will there ever be any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1. Praise God. Eternal death and dying spiritually, again, is never going to be the part of the believer. Now, death for the believer is a benefit. It is a gift. And you say, how can that be? Death for the believer is for our good. Otherwise, how could Paul say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better? It is. We don't look at things that way, generally speaking. But the truth is, now, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21, 22, and 23. Listen to what God says to us there in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21, 22, and 23. For all things are yours, the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you're Christ's. That is, you belong to Him, and all these things belong to you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world? He experienced life in this world. He experienced death in leaving this world. And so we belong to Him, and I've heard some preachers say they wanted to go by way of the grave because they wanted to go like Jesus did. Jesus suffered death, and so death, let me say this. The apostle said death belongs to you. Death is yours as much as life is. as much as Christ is. Death belongs to you as a possession. Now, what is so good about death? What are the benefits of death for the believer? We have sometimes sung about it. We're going to sing about it before this meeting is over tonight, God helping us. We're going to be finally and fully freed from sin and temptation. Does that sound good to you? How many people here are looking forward to your next temptation and your next fall into sin? Oh boy, let's go. No. We used to be that way. We didn't have a problem. You know, but now we kind of dread sin and temptation. We are going to be finally and completely freed from sin and temptation. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us in verse 23 that there in that heavenly Jerusalem are the spirits of the justified perfected. That's literally what it's saying. The spirits of just men. I don't exactly like to say it in those terms. The justified. It's not just men. It's women too. And it's now just men. Just men made perfect. No, the women are going to be, the believing women are going to be perfected too. So I like to say it this way. The spirits of the justified perfected. Now, Paul told us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. And oh, what a blessing to look forward to loving Him with an unsinning heart. I'm not going to be able to come before the Lord in the morning and present to Him an unsinning heart yet. But He has taught me to pray, give us this day our daily bread, and in the same prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, thank God. One of the benefits of our death will be final, full freedom from sin and temptation. Hallelujah. And another benefit, we are brought into the sweet, never-ending communion and enjoyment of Christ. I don't know how you enjoyed the singing tonight, but it was just getting all over me, getting inside of me, blessing my soul, and I was enjoying worshiping the Lord, and I really didn't want it to stop. And it's not going to stop when we get there. It's going to keep on going. And we're going to enjoy it. And we're not going to, let's get out of here. We got to get on with life now. And the tendency of human nature is let's go in our own strength now. And we kind of forget about the Lord. And we got all these things we got to do. And we got our focus on all this. But then there will be no removal of the focus. It will be in the sweetest, unbroken, continuous communion with Him for all eternity. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross in Luke 23:43. He said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." What's paradise? It's not a bunch of mangoes. It's not a bunch of bananas or all kind of tropical fruit. Paradise is being with the Lord and enjoying Him forever. That's what the apostle was talking about in Philippians 1:23, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. It is. It's better. It's better than this life. And yet, oh no. Think about that awesome reality of death. And we read in Hebrews that Christ came to deliver us from those that were in bondage to the fear of death all their lives. So another benefit, there's a wonderful book written by an old Puritan named Richard Baxter called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. And you think about that. Rest. I thought about rest this morning at 5 o'clock. The alarm went off and I'm thinking rest is really good. And I'm thinking, Okay, we pray. So we prayed together, and then I'm thinking, we have to get up now. You know, it's feels so good just to be warm and not have to move right now. So I just enjoy this rest. It really has a sensation of just goodness all over. And I don't want to get up. So rest. What do you think about rest? We are told in Revelation 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. If we think our rest here, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, you know, when you work. But how much sweeter, how much more glorious and wonderful and fulfilling that rest is going to be. We sang that song, Jesus, I am resting, resting. And what a privilege to rest eternally with the Lord. Well, we not only rest from our labors, but we rest from all the distractions, the things of this world that distract us away from the Lord. And we will rest because our focus will be on the Lamb. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15 tells us that they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. I know there's a lot here from Revelation, but Revelation tells us so much about what it's going to be like after we leave this world. And then also Revelation chapter 21 tells us it's going to be rest from all our miseries. We're thinking this morning a little about what it was like, I mean, to be made by the hand of God and then to be driven out of the Garden of Eden. What an awful thing to learn what briars and thorns are. What an awful thing to go out into a world where there are these pesky insects and all kinds of things and horrible things. Well, praise God. One of the benefits of our dying and going to be with the Lord will be rest from all of the miseries of this life. Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And what causes those tears to come to our eyes? There shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Won't be any crying or sorrow about somebody else's death. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain. What causes pain? We could come to pain through our sense of touch by touching some object or being touched by some object in an unpleasant way. And our pain can also come from disease. And those who, as so many in our congregation, experience these awful headaches, what a blessing it will be to never have another headache. Even with this wonderful, transformed resurrection body, there will be no more pains, for the former things are passed away. So, wonderful benefits that come to us from dying. So let us not think that, I mean, death is a separation. It's not only a separation of soul from body, but a separation from so many that we love here. But you think about those that are there that we love that we'll be with as well. Now, death is good for us. I'm going to read just a little bit from Louis Berkhof, who was a great Dutch Reformed theologian. He said, in the economy of grace, death is good for our spiritual advancement. It's advancing in the kingdom of God. The very thought of death, bereavements through death, when we think about others dying, we're so shocked to hear about Tim's brother this morning, and he went to the funeral right after the service. The feeling that sickness and suffering are harbingers of our own death, the consciousness of the approach of death. All of these things have a beneficial effect upon the people of God. What beneficial effect does even thinking about death have? It serves to humble our pride. There's one. Death and thinking about death serves to help humble our pride. Another one, to mortify our carnality, to check our worldliness, and to foster spiritual mindedness. In the mystical union that we have with our Lord, believers are made to share the experiences of Christ, just as He entered upon His glory by the pathway of sufferings and death. His children also enter upon their eternal reward through suffering, sanctification, and death. Victory in the very hour of seeming defeat is what God is so good at bringing about for His people. Well, I want to share with you one other thing. Our catechism says here, that death being the wages of sin, why are not righteous delivered from death, seeing all their sins are forgiven in Christ? The righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day, and even in death are delivered from the sting and curse of it. Christ, by His atoning work, has pulled the stinger out, and there's no curse upon us, so that although we die, it is out of God's love to free us perfectly from sin and misery, and to make us capable of further communion with Christ in glory. Now, I love the way the Heidelberg Catechism, the question number 42, expresses it. Here's what the Heidelberg Catechism says. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? And here's the answer. Our death is not satisfaction for our sin, but only a dying to sin and entering into eternal life. Because Christ has made satisfaction for the sins of His people, death for them is a complete dying to this present sinful condition and a transition into the immediate, direct, and glorious presence of God in heaven. So death for the believer is a blessing. Let us remember that. And I trust that the Lord will encourage us not to spend our days in bondage because of the fear of death in this life, but to realize that God is in control of every circumstance, even concerning our death. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, death is one of our possessions, as well as life, as well as Christ, as well as being in this world.